This episode is brought to you by Gamefly.com. Gamefly.com delivers games right to your door. Over 8,000 titles. Go to Gamefly.com/Sondra or this episode's page on Nerdist.com and click on the banner to get a free 15-day trial.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sondra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Today is the day.
Oh yeah?
Sex Nerds, friends, we are going to be talking about threesomes today.
All right.
It's pretty exciting.
About time.
Before we do, though, a couple things. First of all, for everybody who emailed me about how I shouldn't like Ender's Game because they disagree with the politics of the author, because I was saying go to audiblepodcast.com/sexnerd and get a free book, which is fine. But guys, let me love what I love, okay? Let me just love. I don't get any time to read anymore. I love that book. Just let me have that, okay? Just let me have that.
Don't let her have it. Keep giving her shit for it, please.
I love that book. It's my favorite book ever.
I don't know anything about that book.
It's just an amazing story, and I know nothing of the author except that he gave me that book, and that's all I...
Oh,
you know,
no,
not
Lord.
Personally. Like, he gave the world that book. I don't care
oh,
anything.
I see.
It's just that book makes me
I
happy.
Thought you were big time in us.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I know nothing about it except that he gave it to me and signed it, and he's my boyfriend. No big deal.
It was like that. Anyway, also, there is a live show we're having here at Meltdown Comics. I realize that you may live in Kansas or in New York or somewhere else, but if you live in the LA area...
Not you, you.
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 You. Not you, but you.
Right.
I'm talking to
that guy.
That guy who lives in Kansas.
Right. Please come on down to the March 16th show because we are going to be talking about making out and kissing. It's going to be really fun.
It's awesome.
My favorite things to do sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. It's kind of the best.
Yeah.
Revisit it, guys. If all you do is just bone... Revisit it.
All you do is bone, no kissing. I fuck, no kissing. That's what I say to girls.
But anyway, that's what's going on here. That's
nice.
What you say.
Thank you.
You also say punch me in the face sometimes in bed.
Punch me in the face, no yeah. kissing. Yeah. Hi, I'm Dave, no kissing.
Anyway, I've got two amazing people sitting, flanking me, basically.
Me and Katie.
Yes.
Me and Katie. What's up, Katie?
Four amazing hey. People. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Sorry.
Reed Mahalko and Allison Moon.
Hey, guys.
Two of my favorite people in the entire world. Also, they're like sexual superheroes in the world of sex educators, guys.
In a world filled. Yeah, I know. I'm just going to lean back and let them take over then.
No, I'm really...
Sexual superheroes.
Like, I'm kind of overwhelmed at the... Allison.
Yes.
What's your superpower?
Well, I just know that you're... Well, whenever I see you, I'm like really excited to see you. I was like, Allison!
Thank you.
Because you were joking at me, like, well, you do have beautiful eyes. But I know that you teach a lot of female pleasure classes.
I do.
And
at
you
UCLA.
Write... And you're an author.
I am.
Right? And your website's talesofthepack.com. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, what are you about?
I like female pleasure. I'm a proponent of it. I like giving it. I like receiving it. I like mm-hmm. receiving pleasure of all genders, actually. But generally speaking.
Pleasure's gendered?
Well, female pleasure.
Got it.
Get it?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one side of what I do. I love sex-positive education in general. I like teaching adults how to have better sex. Mm-hmm. I like teaching women how to have better sex. And then on the other side of things, I am an author. I wrote a book about lesbian werewolves.
Yes, you did.
Called Lunatic Fringe. It's great. It's been going well. It's 6 months old now, and I'm writing the sequel right now.
Excellent.
And the first book has been described as YA, young adult, plus fisting.
In a world filled
with small hands.
In a world of fisting, the one with small hands is king.
It's true. That's why I like San Francisco. And the
what?
The sequel. Because even the boys have small hands. You know?
Everyone has small hands in San Francisco. Small hands, the San Francisco tree.
You know somebody's silk screening that onto a t-shirt right now.
Yeah. This is gold. I'm going to sell this at fucking Coffee Bean.
They don't have Coffee Bean up there. They have Ritual, though. Anyway, so yeah, so the second book is YA plus BDSM Dungeon, essentially, is the kind of the sequel version of the first book. So,
nice.
Yeah. My protagonist goes to a dungeon in the second scene. It's kind of hot.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you know, I like writing it.
Yeah.
It's fun to get turned on when you're writing it. I'll be right back writing.
It's really hard to write erotica. Yeah, because, and I just stop.
You're like, why is there just a bunch of ellipses?
Just like dot, dot, dot. I'm done. Tapping out, guys. Great.
I don't write erotica. I live it.
Sure, you do.
Have you seen the size of my hands?
That's a good sign.
I click submit.
I want that to
when
be my
orgasm.
Bumper sticker. Reed Mahalko. Okay, so Reed is a sex educator that comes to LA every so often. And when I see his, I always learn something when I go to your workshops. And you've role modeled a lot of stuff for me in terms of your transparency and your ability to just be honest about who you are and whatnot. And so I just really admire you. And plus, you're a friend. And, you know, you have nice eyes too.
Thank you.
So
you
yes.
have nice eyes too, by the way. I
oh,
didn't say
you.
That, but I it's true. I was admiring.
Hey
them.
Guys.
Oh, threesomes. We're talking about threesomes, not foursomes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know.
One too many people at this table.
I'm here to represent the left out demographic.
Damn it. Well, I mean, Sandra, I just want to say thank you because you're one of the reasons why I do come to LA a lot. You were the person who originally brought me into the pleasure chest. To teach there.
That's not a euphemism. That's a store.
I thought the exact same thing. You were the one who brought me into the pleasure chest.
You took me out of
the pleasure chest is my butt.
For those people who are listening in, who Allie's website is Tales of the Pack, or you can remember it as lesbianwerewolves.com. We'll forward to it, and I'm readaboutsex.com, which is spelled R-E-I-D.
Yeah, you guys get that? It's like Reed, yeah. But it's Reed is his name.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know how long it took me to come up with that? My website used to be readmahalko.com.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing an interview on NPR, and we talked about, it was a great interview. At the end, he's like, yeah, and that's readmahalko.com. And Reed, how do we spell that? And I spell it out, and he's like, awesome, thanks for being on the show today. Clicks, you know, the on the air sign goes off. He goes, really? He goes, I can't even remember how to spell that now. And I went home, and I'm like, I have to have a better website. I have to have a better URL. And I'm doing all these things and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, my God.
But it was like 2 months of brainstorming before you're like, oh,
read about sex. So, it was very arduous.
Yeah. No,
that told you that?
It was one of the NPR affiliate stations out in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
It's interesting.
I had it, well, I said that to myself because it was going to be saucysassysandy.com. And then I was in the middle of a blowjob class. And I'm like, so yeah, if you want to go to my website, it's saucysassysandy. I need a new URL. Like, it was not okay.
And I think Sex Nerd Sandra was brilliant when you came up with it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a hard struggle to get to that. But yeah, and here we are.
Here we are.
With
here
memorable URLs.
Excellent.
Yeah, everybody has a website.
Do you have a website?
I do have a website.
What's your website?
DaveToTheRoss.com.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, I landed on that after my original website URL was Dave.com. And then I went on this radio show and this guy was like, way too many Daves, man. I can't remember how many Daves.
It was like Dave to the fifth instead of Dave.
Exactly.
To the Ross.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, enough about...
About URLs.
URLs, yeah.
They're so sexy, though.
Okay, it's threesome time. It can be foursome time. It's basically...
More sometime.
Plus, or two plus, or more than two. Sex time. This is, you know...
Greater than.
Greater sign. Than. Thank you, my math is...
But not, like, value statement style. Like, right. You know, not greater than, but
it's not
more
evolved.
Than.
It can be. Mathematically greater than.
What's evolved is you having the sex that you want.
Right.
That was poignant, honey.
Yeah.
All right.
Deep. Let's have a moment.
Oh, they're also a couple. P.S. Yeah. just so you know. B.T.W. Okay, so first of all, Reed, I know you teach the threesome class a lot.
Negotiating successful threesomes is
right.
The class.
What is, I mean, I'll just start off. Well, let's start off with the tip because I did email like.
Just the tip?
Yeah, just the tip. What's your tip?
My threesome tip?
Yes.
If I had to say one tip, I would say get good at the awkward.
Okay.
It's the little piece that we teach in the class where it's about learning how to initiate when things get awkward. Mm-hmm. And so when you notice that the moment's awkward and no one's speaking, it's probably because everyone's awkward and no one's going to speak. So you say, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. The two other people, or four or five, will usually say, what? And then suggest something that you would like to do, give or receive. Mm-hmm. And if they say yes, then initiate that action.
Huh.
Which works really well in threesomes, because inevitably, if things are going well, you get to that moment where it's time for the sex. And then things get awkward.
Yeah.
And then if you sometimes shout out, I have an idea. then the other two will usually be like, what? And then so
just to save them from the awkward, they'll ask, what do you, what? Like, give us an idea. Give us because something to do.
And that's the thing is like most adults are kind of stuck in seventh grade, especially when it comes to sex, especially when it comes to multiple person sex, mm-hmm. you know, three ways and four ways and stuff. And so a lot of that is how you break the ice and initiate so that people can kind of fall into their groove.
Okay. So like role playing it out for a minute, like, okay, we're hanging out on the really big couch, you know, and we've all had a glass of wine.
The wine's empty, actually.
Yeah. Like
finished the bottle.
Right. And like, I'm leaning up against Allie and Dave's like head is on my lap and Reed's massaging Dave's view, or you know, whoever, like maybe like we're like all cuddling. Like, well, who knows what we're doing? Maybe we're all sitting and not touching each other at all. What do you say?
I have an idea.
What?
I would like to see you sit on Allison's face while Dave and I go make a martini, and then we're going to come back and drink our martinis while we watch you guys go at it until you two invite us in.
Oh, that's really intense.
I'm a yes. And then, was this a hypothetical? Because I could really go for a martini, right?
This is great. No, but the idea is, you know, you make a suggest something that you want, because mm-hmm. sometimes people will say yes mm-hmm. to almost whatever because they're just feeling awkward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people suggest things that if people say no, they're like, oh, that's okay. I really didn't. In their head, they're like, I didn't really want that, so it was okay that they said no. Mm-hmm. And then you get stuck doing something you don't want. Mm-hmm. So the idea is request something that you know you want or know that you would like, because it'll almost always be there at the tip of your tongue. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you try to figure out what everybody else wants, you're going to get caught in the delay loop, and then you're just going to get embarrassed and shut yourself down.
So what should I say if you suggest that and I'm not necessarily ready to be sitting on someone's face?
Yeah, I'd be like, well, how about, I have another idea.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the best part of the cycle is like if somebody says, well, no, not, maybe later, or I'm not really ready for that. You can be like, okay, I have another idea. Or do you have an idea? And then it can be actually a dialogue. You're like, well, maybe I would really like a foot rub. How's that sound?
Yeah.
And then it can be a negotiation.
You can almost never go wrong with, how about we all massage each other? Like, Sandra, you're first, mm-hmm. and the rest of us are going to massage you, and then for 2 minutes, and then we'll yell switch, and then we'll, you know, go to the next person. Mm-hmm. You can almost always get that happening. And this is assuming that you guys have already negotiated a three-way. Like, it's not like...
So it's assuming that we already talked at some point previous.
Yeah, it's not like that. You walk into a room with the two people there, and you're like, by the coffee, you know, pot at work, and you're like, I have an idea.
How about you sit on her face? And I'm gonna go make a martini. Yeah, I know we're at work. I do,
but it's Friday. Yeah. So, but it's threesome Thursday at work. But the idea, like this awkward formula, works really well in all the stages of initiating and negotiating a threesome. Because at some point, if you're interested in having a three-way with two people, you kind of have to start that conversation. Mm-hmm. And that conversation can be, I have an idea. You know, I listened to this really crazy, awesome podcast, and I was kind of thinking about having, you know, trying to have a three-way with somebody. Would you guys be interested in a threesome? Mm-hmm. And if they say yes, then you're like, okay, so how would that look? Like, what would that look like? Like, you have to keep initiating it. And the thing is, like, talking about sex in our culture is so weird to people. They're like, really? You can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, you can.
It's really helpful because to me, I've always been a little bit of like, I've been threesome avoidant, because to me it was like, okay, ready, set, threesome, and then like just get a dive for genitals, and everyone's gonna be doing something like all constantly. And it just
seems like the great land grab of 19. You know,
seriously, dive for genitals.
It just seemed really complex. I'm like, no, lately. Like I've come to understand that it doesn't have to be like that, but for a long time I was definitely like confused by the complexity of just adding that third dimension of a person.
Well, for some people it's hard enough to have sex with themselves. You know, then it's like navigating having another person, and oh, so you want to make this, you know, you want to throw a whole other human being in there. Mm-hmm. It is kind of overwhelming, and then some people are insecure about their fantasies, you know, or their erotic life is really charged because this is something they've always wanted, so the stakes are really high. You know, and a mm-hmm. lot of, I mean, even with Allie and I in our relationship, like a lot of it is really just kind of building up your asking for what you want muscles so that it's, and being able to handle your partner maybe being surprised or freaked out. But, you know, once you know that you guys can handle those conversations, it's a lot easier to speak up and ask for the things that you want and then have a conversation about what that would look like.
And of course, that doesn't just translate. I mean, that translates from sex to all sorts of other things. I mean, speaking up when I'm feeling anxious or speaking up when I'm, you know, annoyed that you didn't take out the trash or whatever that is. It's like those kinds of skill sets can easily translate across. Are you laughing because you always take out the trash? That's probably
no. Well, no.
It is bullshit when someone doesn't take out the trash.
I was busy having a threesome. Right? Come on. Give me some slack.
But no, I mean, it's good skill sets. Even if you're monogamous, even if you are, you know, single, all those things can still apply to just asking for what you want and kind of being the role model for other people. Because when the awkward hits, it's not just because one of you is feeling awkward. Everybody in the scenario is awkward, or else it would be moving smoothly because somebody would be taking charge.
Even the neighbors are feeling awkward.
Exactly. Like then awkward. Anybody who's in, it's like bad improv. Everybody's like, oh my God, does someone do something?
It is kind of what you think with bad improv.
Yes.
Man,
that is the one, like, that is probably the only real turnoff I've ever heard to a threesome. Like, comparing it to bad improv, I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just have regular sex.
Right? We'll just watch some porn. They seem like they always know what they're doing there. Because the awkward happened before they started rolling.
Hmm. What is your tip?
My tip?
Just a tip.
Take out the fucking trash.
I'm going to turn that into a ringtone, by the way.
And by trash, I mean your whore of an ex.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. No.
And that's the
I like most
code.
Of your exes. Yeah, exactly. My big tip is to, as much as you can, not be attached to the stakes and the outcome. I think that one of the hardest things for people to do, especially when they get excited, is they start kind of putting all these notions of what's going to happen onto the space. Mm-hmm. And then it makes it off, can be kind of awkward, because if I'm like, no, seriously, you're supposed to sit on my face right now. And it's like, I'm not in the mood to sit. Like, seriously, that's what a threesome looks like. You got to sit on my face right
now. Eiffel Tower it. You got to high five. Like, it's very important.
Well, I mean, that's fun. But I think that it's really important for, you know, even if it's just like, okay, so we, you know, the three of us like massaged each other. The three of us, like, we made out for a while and then somebody wanted to go home or whatever. I think that's fine. Like, that still counts. And I think that it's when you try and push it and when you try and make something happen because you have this high expectation of what it's supposed to look like is when things get weird, because then you're trying to manage everybody's expectations and control the space rather than just letting people's tastes and proclivities and enjoyments come through.
Yeah.
And that's why I get, you know, that's when often if it goes wrong, people aren't going to want to sleep with you again because you were a bully or whatever. Ooh. Because you were trying to push something in, so to speak, that wasn't necessarily going to happen.
Touch her.
I'll do it for you, damn it.
Yeah. No, like this.
I think that's also true for just any part of your life. You know, just literally never force it.
Well, but that's the thing is like sex and relationships are a really good module to look at, like, all of life. Like the symbolism, the symbology is there, and I think, like, as a sex educator, as a sex geek, real good communication skill set stuff applies cross platform. So, you know, negotiation skills and skills getting over your fear and your shame for asking what you want, those things are just as important in the bedroom as they are, like, for the rest of your life. So if you have trouble being the person to initiate a conversation about safer sex, you know, which can be difficult at times, like because you're afraid of ruining the moment or whatever.
Sure.
Like developing those skill sets to be able to have the chutzpah to bring that conversation up, that means you probably have the chutzpah to initiate other conversations in your life, whether they're out of the bedroom or in the boardroom or whatever. And I think those communication skill sets, you don't have to just find them in the sex ed workshop. I mean, you can look for that kind of wisdom everywhere. And the really good stuff, you should be able to apply almost anywhere in your life. And that's how I kind of sift through things and look for value.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Question.
Yeah. What's your question?
Okay. So how about those magical like hookups that people talk about? I mean, when I say magical, just sort of the spontaneous...
Drug-fueled
even, right? Where, oh, my BFF and my boyfriend and I were hanging out in the hot tub and we'd had a lot of wine, you know, and then we were all suddenly we were all making out and whatnot. And people can find themselves in those situations and be happy, but it can also be awkward. And what do you suggest for people who are kind of, we are now spontaneously coming into this threesome, haven't discussed it as a group or not much as a couple, but I keep eyeing my partner and they seem to be okay.
Yeah.
I have a cautionary tale around that, because I had a really awkward threesome once and it was very much that. It was like New Year's Eve or something. And we were drinking and...
It's the name of your band, right? Awkward Threesome?
Haha. Probably. Should be.
It's
so,
my band.
Yeah. How do we get bands?
Well, wait,
Sex
Nerd
Sandra
band.
And the Awkward
Threesome.
What? Why, wait, what? We both have bands.
It's a good power trio.
Double billing. Awkward Threesome and Awkward Threesome.
Awesome. Anyway.
Cautionary tale.
Yeah, so it was a threesome that kind of was, it was that pure spontaneity thing, and it was, I didn't realize that my good friend had a crush on this guy, and she was excited to hook up with him, but I was there, and I was very queer, and she was pretty straight, and we didn't talk about it. And at one point I was going down on her, and I'm like, I probably really should have just asked at some point if I should do this, because it was like, it was just kind of everything was everywhere, hands were everywhere, and I'm like, it was exciting and sexy, but I felt in the middle of eating her out that I'm like, I didn't check in with her about this, and now I feel like a total dick. Mm-hmm. And we didn't check in at the whole time. I mean, the three of us just kind of fooled around, and then afterwards, I could tell that my friend was really awkward, and the dude, he was fine, but you know, she was making bad jokes because about like, oh, aren't you lucky, guy? And he's like, I was. It was terrible. And then, like, the whole fallout from that became bigger and bigger as I learned that she had a crush on him all of a sudden. Honestly, I think the easiest thing to do in that situation of the, like, things are getting sexy and things are happening is to just literally ask permission for something. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be like that. And I think the problem with people when they say, like, oh, well, we didn't want to talk about it, that would ruin the moment. It's like, that drives me crazy, because you can ask permission in a sexy way. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I'm sorry, we have to stop. Is it okay if I put my mouth on your vagina? Like, you can ask all sorts of sexy things. Like, you know, can I go down on you? Would you like it if I had my hand on your cock or whatever? Like, you can, and that's, that can be really sexy. That can be dirty talk, right?
Yeah. And it clears the air.
It does.
It's almost orgasmic in that relaxing of tension kind of way.
Because you get to hear the word yes, or you get to hear the word hell yes, you know, like that's really nice, because now you're like, oh, I can commit myself to this. Now I'm excited, instead of constantly getting stuck in that inner monologue of, is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? Is this okay? Mm-hmm. You can ask, hey, is this okay? Do you like this? Mm-hmm. And then they have the room to say yes or no. Mm-hmm.
But ask it just like that too. Hey,
you sexy. Yeah.
Is this cool? Double guns.
Well, but the thing for me, as somebody who's had many threesomes.
He kind of like looked up and rolled his eyes a little.
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, I don't keep count, by the way, so don't. But you can, you know, you can email Sandra. You can email Sandra and with your best guess and maybe win a prize. It's got to be it's over. It's got to be over 100 by now.
Three
I would say. Yeah.
Oh yeah, probably. I mean, yeah.
How many do you think you and I've had since we've been together? Not just three ways, but just like multiple.
Oh, Jesus, honey. We've been together for 5 years.
This is
riveting radio.
This is also not a podcast. This podcast is not an advertisement for Reed and Allie's relationship. Please do not email us asking for us for a threesome.
Yeah, I'd say more sums we've probably had easily 50 at least. Mm-hmm. Easily.
Oh, can I mention that thing at that hotel room that one time?
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as you use my name.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious.
No, okay, so I was in a monogamous relationship. Right, so
boring.
So
story sucks.
It was at an after party
that's,
of a.
That's what we
sex
were saying, by the way. We're like, Sandra, we,
sex conference,
you're being
and I'm invited up through a mutual friend. Like, oh, there might be a play party upstairs. I'm like, I can't do anything, but is it okay if I watch and like can be there?
Voyeurism is participation.
Well, that's excellent in this in the culture that you've created. Mm-hmm. You know,
in a monogamous relationship.
No, but so I go in. And everyone's, like, really nice, and I've met all these wonderful people from San Francisco, and everyone's chatting. And the thing is that I'd only been in one, like, group sex space before that. But I'd been in, like, BDSM play spaces, but not, like, just sexual. And in people, I mean, and I think the thing is, like, when you think of a threesome or a foursome, you think like, okay, now we are going into the foursome, and then just like like a title appears foursome time, you know, like
ding.
Where really it was very organic, where people like these, and it was mainly females, and they were two like making out in a corner, and then I think Ali, you walked in, and then one of the people were like, hey, spanking time, huh? You know, and then I got to see you two negotiate about like, well, let's do it a little thuddy, you know, and like mm-hmm. you two negotiated. And then I'm just sitting there just like bright-eyed, like, what's going on? And seeing all these things, and like Reed, you came in, and there was conversation there. And so it was this magical sort of fluid group play that was sort of creating. And then there would be like three people together on over there, or like four people over here, or just two people. But I think that when people think threesome, they think of something really specific and controlled. Mm-hmm. When really, when I did find myself in a threesome recently, I think an hour in was like, oh, well, this is technically a threesome. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we will sometimes create like, you know, let's have, so, you know, so-and-so over and, you know, and I'll be like, honey, I'm having so-and-so over for dinner. Do you want to join us for dinner and for sex afterwards? You know, so in those cases it's intentional in that the invitation's there and the option for that kind of stuff is there. It doesn't always have to turn into those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, another tip for your listeners around, you know, if you're interested in exploring three ways, pick people who've had successful threesomes.
That's important.
To invite for you to get your sea legs and kind of learn how to do this. Like, don't pick the drunkest person at the end of the bar. Yeah, they're good. They'll go home with us. Like, you know, pick people who are good with this kind of stuff, because they'll probably be able to midwife you through your experiences and help mm-hmm. you avoid some common pitfalls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get a sense for if you even like threesomes or not. Mm-hmm. You know, just because they're hot to you mentally and you love watching them on porn or thinking about them or, you know, reading about them in Mist of Avalon or whatever. That was nice, right? Mist of Avalon? Hot three-way there. but just because, you know, they're erotic to you in your head doesn't mean you're actually going to like them or be really into them in real life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really common thing. I mean, any sort of fantasy, a lot of times when you enact it, you're like, you think you want to be tied up and flogged, and then you're like, oh, this isn't nearly as hot because the energy is different in my head than it is here.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. The idea that if you're somehow not enjoying what you're doing in real life that you really enjoy when you think about it, that you're doing it wrong, which mm-hmm. is not at all true.
And sometimes the reason you didn't like it is you might have picked people that weren't the right match for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that figuring out if this is just hot in your head
mm-hmm.
and then taking a look at, wow, that was a horrible experience. Well, was it a horrible experience because it was one of your first experiences? Was it horrible because it was with somebody that wasn't really the best fit?
Mm-hmm. Well, we evaluate, you know, our group sex too. We have like, you know, I've got like best fivesome we've ever had in my head. I've got like that party that you're describing, Sandra, mm-hmm. was like, that was one of the easiest impromptu orgies I've ever been to, because it was, everybody was black belts, right? Like mm-hmm. everybody had their conversation down. Everybody had their safer sex stuff down. And so it was, and so for somebody who was a newbie,
sex was amazing to watch. Just mm-hmm. like, glove on. Like, someone would come over and like just glove someone. And I'm like, wow.
Well, it's fancy.
What does that mean?
Like putting on gloves for, right?
Like latex gloves for
like when a doctor's like, Sponge.
No, I mean, I think I,
you know, you can be like,
I get
glove.
I thought I got it, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
so they just yelled out glove, and right. then they had gloves on
because
and
somebody was like,
glove,
"Oh,
fuck
I'll
you.
Glove you." Yeah, okay, yeah. Sure. I know, and that's kind of the kind of sweet thing that I really like about those kinds of parties, where there. I mean, you can go to a sex club or a party where you'll it's really dark and nobody will talk to each other, and it's kind of like all negotiation. I mean, that's very common in a lot of like gay men scenes or bathhouses where it's like nonverbal, and that's kind of the arousal aspect of it. That's totally fine for a lot of people if you've got your shit handled around that. I really enjoy the like, you guys are cool, I can actually like enjoy, you know, lunch with you, and I can also enjoy sex with you, and into this like I don't have to like avert my eyes when I see you at the train station the next day, right? And that's what I like. I like it when I'm with my friends, when I can just be like, that was awesome, you spanked me so well, thank you so much for doing thuddy and not stingy, you rock. Like that's
yeah.
that's fun for me, because that's like integrating sex into my life. It's not mm-hmm. just like sex has to be compartmentalized in this small box I keep locked most of the time, and then I can bring it out. I like the idea of the open communication. I like the idea of the, you know, it's easy for a newbie to come in because you get to just watch people being comfortable with their sexuality and comfortable with playing with different kinds of threesomes, different kinds of scenes. Mm-hmm. There can be, you know, spanking and choking in one side of the room, and then there can be like cuddling and toe-sucking in the other or whatever.
Totally.
And there's a feng shui to that, right? Which corner is it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's the water corner. No? Is that wrong?
But I'm bummed. Thank you. We'll be here all
time. That felt kind of racist in my head.
I had literally no idea that was a joke. I could not have gotten that less.
It's okay. We really integrated it into what we were saying. It was, I can understand.
Okay. Yeah.
No.
I remember the thing that I enjoyed the most about that space was that there was so much laughter and the gloves.
The gloves.
But the laughter, that there was a lightheartedness to it, where I think there's a certain imagined intensity of like, oh, this is going to be so intense.
Yeah, like you're listening to the theme from Requiem for a Dream. Sit on her face.
No. I just brought back so many memories of that movie.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry. I'm going to be on television. That's what threesomes are like in my head.
But this is like, but the stakes are high for a lot of people. They don't take their sex too seriously.
Yeah.
You know, Alice and I joke about like we don't take our casual sex casually.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, the idea of giving yourself permission to even have the sex life that you want, to surround yourself with people whom you can share and be transparent. That doesn't mean you have to blog about it or, you know, be out, you know, out in the open like I am about stuff. I mean, I do it, one, because I'm an educator, two, because I'm a slut. But the idea that you can have your privacy and surround yourself with people that you don't have to hide who you are from.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can start asking for what you want. And there are people out there who may want to give it to you, like gladly, because not because they're obligated, but because like that's fun for them.
Like how many people who are just have groups of friends, and so many people tell me like, oh, I could never talk. Like I listen to your podcast because I could never talk about sex to any of my friends. Like this is my outlet for like, I feel like I'm listening to friends and it makes me feel better about who I am. And I get these letters and I was wondering like, how many of your friends secretly would totally like want to
How many
experiment.
Of your friends are listening to the podcast too?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that. I mean, that's the thing. We're so inculcated with the shame in this culture around sexuality that it does, everybody kind of, you have to compartmentalize a lot of times. Not even because you're afraid of losing your job. You're just afraid of losing your face or your dignity with people that supposedly love you. And that's where it gets kind of weird for me. It's like you, even people who can't talk to their spouses about what they like. And that's what I want to change in this culture. I want people to feel more comfortable talking about it, which is why I love podcasts like what you do, because it's fun and it's funny. And
you're
also talking about something that's really, it's charged for a lot of people. And I think we need to do a lot of unschooling around the way that we've taught sex and not even just sex ed, like not even the mechanics, but the emotions that are attached to it and the responsibilities that are attached to it. It becomes this dark, deep thing where it can be really fun and light and giggly. You know, it can be slumber party style, which I really love. And I mean, not everybody's turn on. Some people like the dark, but I think it's fun to have all.
Well, you should have a range. Like there's so many different crayons in that crayon box. Like so many people grew up in families.
There's like eight.
Yeah, well, though, whereas, like you get, it's not even
there's
that.
One.
And it's broken. It's cracked.
And there's one. Actually, there's none.
But the idea that like
there is a box of 164 crayons and it has a crayon sharpener on the side of the box. I have seen it.
Well, that's, and I think
so. The one crayon is missionary. And
for those of you who aren't picking up what we're throwing down,
what's the second? I have no idea.
Well, this is the thing about
the 163 of tears.
Oh. Wow, that's crazy.
But this is what I like about the threesome. Like, if you're gonna have your first threesome, and that's why I mentioned the stakes thing. It's like, it's better if you can do it in a way where you're like, if when your bodies are squishing together, they make that farting sound that happens, and you can laugh about it. Like, that's a more successful threesome than the like furtive, I'm going to do all the things on my checklist. Like, and then later you can do the things on your checklist. There's so much room for passion, and there's room for the raw and the animal and the sexy. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't have you don't have to lead with that, like just with a lot of great relationships, you can have crazy drunken sex with somebody, but that often doesn't turn into a great relationship. Sometimes the best relationships of your life start with kind of weird, awkward sex because mm-hmm. the stakes are high. You like that person, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you can grow into the we're gonna rut like bunnies, but that sometimes takes a little while to get to, mm-hmm. or at least maybe it's the third time you guys sleep together where you can really let that go. And that's what I have no problem with. The first threesome can crash and burn in this really silly way.
It doesn't mean threesomes suck for you forever.
Yeah, right. And it doesn't mean you can't have a redo with those people. Like, and this is where my advice to folks, other tips that I would give people is, expand the idea of what a three-way is to you. Okay. Like, if it's you and two other people in bed, naked, making out, that's a win.
Yeah.
Hello. Sounds fun.
Yeah. If that means there's three of you and you all take a shower together and that's all that happens that night, that's a win.
Like, sure.
Most people will never have two other people in a shower with them.
Yeah.
And like, that can be a really kind of not high stakes thing where you're all just kind of, who's got the loofah, who's got the soap, go. And just making it playful and not about these kind of, okay, now everyone's whipping their cocks out, and then the walls come up around the, sex. Like, mm-hmm. you can ease into, no pun intended, ease into a three-way by expanding what counts for you. Because so many people are getting their visual lovemaking cues from porn.
Yeah.
And that's like, and this is my classic joke, like trying to learn how to be a better lover from watching porn is like trying to learn how to drive from watching The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a bad idea. Porn's an entertainment medium. You don't see any of the negotiation. They edit that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And porn, because it's entertainment, needs to look active. So you just don't see three people cuddling and making out and until it gets nice and hot and juicy, and then they start doing something else. Mm-hmm. What you see is you see the fucking.
Yeah.
And so we don't have enough range in our visual cues to be like, we could just sit on the couch and like dry hump each other and drink wine. Or I'm going to play, Xbox, and you two are going to make out, nibble on my neck and try to get me to fuck up my game.
I love that stuff.
your eyes just went.
I love the multitasking challenge, like driving and sexing or like anything. I mean, don't kill yourself. But like, I just love that stuff.
Yeah, so definitely don't do that. Don't kill yourself.
Yeah, but you can try and do Mario Kart. Maybe you can practice.
Yeah. Before you get on the road.
now I have an idea. Now this would be fun.
I'd be on the team trying to distract the other person because I would be distracted within like 10 seconds.
But that's the fun of it. We had a Scrabble game once at an orgy.
Yeah, that was fun.
You want to tell that story?
Sure. So we had a memorial orgy for a friend of mine who passed, and he was a fixture at our sex parties. Aww. He was always like the light of the room. He's a wonderful man.
Aww.
And we decided, and we were a bunch of nerds, right? So we were, well, let's play Scrabble. And we had, but we're at an orgy, so how can we make this work? And so we had teams, and the person putting down the tiles on each team had to be getting fucked while they were putting down the tiles.
Oh, and, wow.
These are very smart people, like really high, smart, like big words. The Scrabble game had like three-letter words all over.
It was three-letter words that really weren't in the dictionary. There was one that was like a word that ended in an E right before a triple word score. And like, we wouldn't do that. Why did we do that? But, you know, when you have a sex machine working you, it's easy to get distracted.
Wait, was there actually a sex machine involved
too?
Yeah,
that was me.
No. We have a sex machine. We were given a sex machine by a friend.
Oh, my
so
God.
So it was four teams with seven people in a sex machine.
You own a sex machine?
Mm-hmm.
I need to visit.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's on my bucket list. I want to understand.
We actually named it after the friend who passed.
Oh.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That is so sweet. And
yeah. I mean, kind of weird, but yeah.
But it's like full of love, but also, wow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Seen a lot of action. It's a good, mm-hmm. it's a good machine.
But again, like this is, it's just about being able to come up with things that are, you know, especially for, you know, for us nerds and geeks and dorks, like stuff that's dorky and silly to make sex playful again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, like it's challenging. Like if all you've ever wanted in your world was to have a threesome, and now it's happening, that can be you know, nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you actually. You were talking about lowering the stakes, and talking about sex. I know most people, like you said, have trouble talking about any sex at all ever with anyone. Do you have any recommendations for bridging that gap? For like, because that seems like step one, like bringing it up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like how? I mean, I don't know. It's not a problem for me, really. I mean, I consider myself fairly open, but I still have a little bit of difficulty talking to some people about sex. Or I can talk about sex and then I just say something dumb at the end, like fuck, no, who cares? What? Yeah, I'm gonna go make out with a dude. Like I just end up saying that,
yeah,
to break the tension.
Yeah, yeah. And then again, like I think that kind of. There's a way to use humor to get people to open up, and then there's a way to use humor to kind of, you know, try to take the gravitas or the energy out of the situation because you said something vulnerable.
Sure.
And in those situations, I mean, it's human nature to do that, but to the extent that you can actually try to be comfortable with that you're having a real moment, I think that has a lot of value because what you're doing is you're role modeling for the other person. It's okay to be real.
Right.
That's invaluable. Mm-hmm. So just you being able to speak up and start being the change you want to see in the bedroom.
Way to work in your quote.
Thank you. Somebody made me a t-shirt the other night.
Be the change.
Yeah. Well, that's what Gandhi said. He said, be the change you wish to see in the bedroom, but they couldn't quote him on that. So they changed it.
Wait, what was...
Gandhi? Gandhi, he was a famous figure.
No, I know Gandhi. big fan of Gandhi. I just didn't know that quote. Be the change that you want. Is that his quote?
In the world.
And yeah,
in the
be world. The change you wish to see in the world is a Gandhi quote. And I make
but it used to be in the
well,
bedroom.
Well, I say, you know, be the change you wish to see in the bedroom.
Okay.
And then I tell everyone Gandhi really said that, but they couldn't quote him on
sure.
that. And that usually gets a laugh. Here it just really fell.
It
was a tough crowd.
I just don't understand anything. It's like the second time in a row I just didn't get what we were talking about.
I love that. Like, I use that because it's empowering. No?
Yeah.
It's basically empowering.
And that's the thing is like by you being vulnerable and speaking up, you're role modeling for your partners, for your friends, for your communities. Like it's okay for them to speak up. And this is what we're fighting against is that most people can't. Like
right.
that you can makes you unique. Then most people walking around on the street, you know, most
sure.
people can't have those conversations. And then they end up in relationships, long-term relationships with really nice people, both trying to read each other's minds. And that's just a bad
yeah, it's
mixture.
Unfortunate. Yeah.
But there's also the level of when you are speaking up, even if it's not, you don't have to be as transparent as me and Reed about, you know, who we sleep with and when and how. There is plenty of range for just being that change, speaking up in whatever way you feel comfortable with. And I find that it starts attracting people to you that are also on the same level. So if you say something like, well, I'm looking, you know, even when you're single and you're declaring that you want to meet somebody new and you want a certain kind of person, you can tell your friends, I'm really looking for somebody who's not like my ex in this way. I would really like to meet this kind of person. I would really like this kind of relationship. And it doesn't have to be, you know, sexy and deep. It can just be like, I want a nerd this time. I want somebody who, you know, likes to drive because I don't like to drive. Like, whatever it is, that tends to invite those people into your life so that your friend will be like, oh, yeah, I just met this really awesome person. You might like this person. You guys should hang out. Like, that's kind of how these communities build, by you being transparent enough to invite the right mm-hmm. kind of people into your life.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's a part of this book that I love called A Home at the End of the World, which is actually about non-monogamy. It's by Michael Cunningham. It's one of my favorite novels. And there's this one character, and she says, you know, she wants to give this man that she's sleeping with a haircut because he's got a, you know, bad haircut from the 80s. And she's like, if you have, he's like, it's just hair. And she said, no, it's not just hair. If you have the wrong kind of haircut, you might get the wrong kind of job. And if you have the wrong kind of job, you're going to get the wrong kinds of friends. And then eventually you're going to have the wrong life. And you don't even know that it started because you had the wrong hair. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it is really about, I know it's deep, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it kind of, it was a clarion call to me to, you know, live fully, like get the tattoo I wanted to get, even though my mom said I could never be a banker. I'm like, I don't want to be a banker. So I will get the tattoo. Mm. And that kind of the way you can live out loud, so to speak, to invite the right lovers, the right friends, the right people into your life, and you can build those communities easier. You're not fighting against yourself.
It's like you're cis-lifed.
Whoa.
We've talked about cisgendered as technically your genitals and your gender expression lining up, but it's like you're aligning your whole life.
That's really deep. Whoa. I'm totally going to use that.
Yeah. If we can pause for a second. It's really hot in here. Can we open
take up all our clothes.
I'm dying.
If we could just pause for a minute and fuck, that'd be awesome.
I don't think that's going to make it cooler. That feels better already.
Yes. Getting any? Yeah, that actually just immediately. Sorry, I was just like
the whole hidden room.
And I can handle tropical temperatures really well, and I'm like,
oh. Are you tropical? Where are you from?
We have Filipino. In Ireland. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, like the Doherty part kind of was confusing to me, but the Filipino part. Okay. Yeah.
Here, we can leave that a little open, and then if it gets loud, I'll close it.
Perfect.
Yeah. I mean, if it messes up the, I just need to, some airflow.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, well, I think we didn't turn your fan on because I was trying to put my camera on it, and we aborted.
I just pit it out.
I wanted to speak on jealousy and people in relationships. I mean, we're talking about really great stuff, but like also just. You know, sex positions.
Yeah, I'm curious about that, too.
Keep us on point.
Jealousy?
Jealousy, yeah.
Okay, like so... Because we have about 20 minutes... What time is it, actually? Oh, it's 4:30.
Perfect.
So we have... Okay. Yeah. All right, guys.
These mics. These are nice mics.
These are very nice mics.
Oh, yeah.
So, what about jealousy? Because lots of people want to have a threesome, but they're in... a relationship with another person, so that's a two. Mm-hmm. That's a duo, and they want to make it a 3-0. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, tell us about that.
So for go to readaboutsex.com, click on jealousy. There's a bunch of stuff. There's some free stuff people can download. There's also some stuff on threesomes that they can find on my site too to download. The jealousy piece, because in our culture, we're supposed to avoid jealousy. Mm-hmm. In Latino culture, that's how you show you care. Is by you want to cut a bitch, mm-hmm. right? But in American culture, like, we avoid jealousy because if you're jealous, that's the beginning of the end of the relationship. Mm-hmm. So most people's like jealousy muscles are completely atrophied as far as like handling jealousy. Mm-hmm. And the way that I teach people to kind of address jealousy is to treat it like asthma, like know your triggers and then learn how to avoid your triggers until you can figure out how to inoculate yourself around them. Mm-hmm. And the inoculation process is pretty much this idea of like, if you're feeling jealousy, it's a clue that you might have needs mm-hmm. that you're not asking for and that aren't getting met. Mm-hmm. Like I don't feel jealousy that often, but when I do, it's because there's a couple of, it's the way I teach is like jealousy is like an octopus. There's like eight arms to this, and there's like, you know, insecurity, there's fear of loss, there's a bunch of needs that you need. I need reassurance and I need things to be fair. Mm-hmm. I get jealous when I feel like for some reason something's going on with Allison or another lover that's like, that's not fair. And then my insecurity arm gets tugged and then all of a sudden I feel jealous.
Right.
Now I'm enough of a geek mm-hmm. that when I feel jealous, I'm like, you know, I get pissed off and I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, oh my God. I'm jealous. This is awesome. I never get to work on jealousy. It rarely shows. It's like, it's the green-eyed booby of jealousy. Everyone look. You know, and then I get to go in and like try to parse it out. And okay, what are my needs? What can I ask for? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, usually like, you know, with Allison, I'll be like, I'm feeling like something's not fair and I need you to reassure me. Mm-hmm. And so her reassuring me that everything's fine. And then us trying to figure out where's the unfairness.
that usually just dissolves it. Because really what I want is I want connection with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people can download stuff on my side about
something
that.
I'm going to remember to do, for sure.
I get jealous way more than you do. And whenever you say that you don't get jealous, I'm like, oh my God. Because I get jealous all the time. And you're a slut, so you sleep with a lot of people. And I'm just like, a lot. And there's, I mean, there is that kind of mental jujitsu that you do on yourself where you're like, you feel jealous and you're like, okay, what need isn't getting met? Like, that's the easy thing. Yeah. Is it that we haven't?
I need you to stop fucking that person right now.
Sometimes it feels like that. Most of the time it feels like I need you to stop fucking that person because you haven't fucked me in a couple days. Or I'm feeling jealous because I'm having a fat day and that girl's really pretty and skinny or whatever it is. I mean, that happens all the time. And it's oftentimes you can figure out, you can either ask for reassurance, really helps me, or asking for some quality time. Like, okay, so you have a date tonight. I'm going to go entertain myself. I'm going to go to that movie that I know you don't want to see anyway. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow we're going to schedule a date, you and me, and we're going to just have our time together. So that will fill that hole, so to speak, of whatever I'm feeling like I'm lacking. And that's like that again, it goes back to the communication thing at the beginning, where it's like I can ask for that, or like even just admitting to out loud, saying out loud, I'm like, I'm jealous because that skinny bitch is skinny and pretty and I'm not feeling very pretty today. Like, even just being able to say that is really helpful, because it's like, it's not about her. She's not doing anything wrong. She's not going to take you away from me. It's just I need reassurance and I'm PMSing. So, like, can we have that conversation? Mm-hmm. That's really, really useful to me. Sometimes also I'll get triggered by people who represent what I cannot be and never will be, right? And that's the hard part. It's like, well, I'm not going to be, 6 foot tall and, long cascading black hair or whatever. It's like, that's not me. I'm never going to be that. So, I can just kind of see that and be like, oh, I'm just freaking out because she looks like that Barbie doll I had a crush on when I was a kid. Okay, fair enough. And you just kind of get over it in that way, too. I think it's really helpful just to kind of pinpoint it, identify it, and realize that nothing's really broken. Mm-hmm. Jealousy isn't something you should run away from or hide from or pretend it doesn't exist, because it's just going to make it worse. Yeah. It's just speaking it, saying it, allowing it to be there. And then, you can be constructive about it with your partner.
Mm-hmm. Fear of loss is huge. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably my trigger, is fear of loss and fear of just lack of importance. Like, oh, I see them talking to that person and I know they like that person, so I fail. You're just like, I'm going to sit here and be sad. But then being able to say, like, hey, I feel kind of insecure right now. Do you still like me? And then they're like, yeah, okay, I feel better. Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, some people get mugged by jealousy so hard that they're just rendered useless, and then you never get to figure out how to get on the other side of it. And again, like, jealousy doesn't have to be this decimating, meltdown always. You can have this like, oh, okay, it's not fun when it happens, but we always get through it. And then you start to have some muscle memory in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, okay, we can do this. And then all of a sudden, it's like going to the gym, starting running. First couple of miles, you're like, Jesus, this is horrible. But then all of a sudden, if you stick at it, then you're running like 8 miles a day. And you're like, wow, like, I remember when I couldn't handle this.
Yeah.
You bring the sort of like the monster into the light. And you kind of see it for what it is.
Yeah. And there's some, I mean, you can systematize this completely. You can have rules. If you're, especially if you're exploring openness with your partner, you can go to the bar and just agree that, you can talk to somebody, but no kissing or whatever. Or, you can do whatever you want to at the venue, but then we're going home together. Mm-hmm. Or whatever that is, and you can kind of baby step your way into it, and kind of so you can slowly figure out, okay, I'm getting triggered right now because you're touching that girl in the way that you never touch me, or whatever. But like, that's so you can distill it down to a fine point, figure that out, so that you don't have to freak out and just have no ability to communicate.
And then for those nerds listening, you can reverse engineer your jealousy.
Ooh. Oh, tell me more.
You can have a conversation with your partner, or even with yourself, right? And write things. I advocate writing things down so you have them out of your head and on paper. Things are a lot less scary.
Yeah.
And then if you get confronted, you can look at your lists rather than trying to recall
things.
That's
a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It works really well for some people. Some people are like, I hate writing. Maybe
I can't write or read that one.
Yeah. I mean, I think literacy is useful for this exercise. Okay. So for those of you nerds who
can write.
Can't write. But the idea of like, like, write your worst case scenarios down. Mm-hmm. Write the things down that you know would make you jealous. Mm-hmm. And then start looking, sifting through them for clues as to what are your needs. You know, I once had a threesome with an ex-girlfriend and one of her friends. And we got into a fight the next day because she was like, you were fucking her harder than you were fucking me. And this was a whole, like, she called me. I was already in bed. She's like, no, come over. We're drinking wine. I'm like, oh, here it is. Tonight's the threesome night. You know, and it was like, oh, poor me. Right. Having to get uptown to have a threesome with my friend and her girlfriend. And it was really hot and fun. But then she and I got into a fight the next day because she was like, you fucked her harder than you fucked me. I'm like, you're the one who fucking invited me. Like, I was taking care of your friend. Like, what the fuck?
You're being a good host.
Yeah. I'm like, but like, out of...
I wanted her to come back.
Yeah, like, how dare you? But the... What we...
You know, that would be hard to see, actually.
We went through it, and it, eventually what was going on was her insecurity about our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She needed, you know, one of the ways she was measuring the secureness was my fervor. Thank you. to well, no, forever. It's a French word.
That was an awesome moment. My forever, fervor.
My forever.
My Trevor.
But like she measured security and, right. And our and the strength of our relationship by my appetite and zeal in fucking her.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, and then we kind of figured that out. So all she really needed was a good fucking, and then that jealousy piece went away.
Right.
You know, so you can create like your worst case scenarios and then start looking, working backwards and be like, okay, so if that were to happen, how could I make that less charged? What could I ask for before that that would make it okay?
Right.
That's one of the, I mean, when I know that you're going to have a date, one of the things we try to do is not necessarily plan a date for us after, but before. So like you'll give me a really good time and then I'll be super satisfied and not really interested in sex. I'm like, I'm going to go knit. You guys have a good time, and I'm totally contented because I've gotten
I'm about to out myself. Like if I know I have a hot date with somebody that Allison's not particularly thrilled about, I will you might have already noticed this, honey. I will usually when Allie wakes up and has her morning coffee, I will usually try to go down on you that morning, like really well, and then like everything's better.
Well, it's also a little Pavlovian, right? Now I'm like, I'm waking up and I know he's got a date and I'm like, where's the cunnilingus? It's coming.
It's like ringing a little bell.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Well, tell him about the jealousy.
Yeah, we were talking about this in the car. So I've actually, because we've been together for so many years now, I've gotten to a place where I'm almost like have a little bit of a cuckold complex because, you know, I'll hear him having sex with somebody. We both work from home, so he'll sometimes have people over and I'm like working in my office and I'll hear the sex sounds. And, you know, you hear, that is not what it sounds like. It sounds like you were like fake sawing wood.
Yeah, we're just straight up dying. It just sounds like you're gonna die.
If I ever hear that sound, I'm calling 911.
Good to know.
So
harder.
It hurts.
So, but one of the things, like, you know, hearing sex sounds is arousing, right? Like, you'll hear sexy sounds and you'll often get turned on. It's very classic porny, right? So, I'll often hear him having sex with somebody and I'll get turned on, but I'll also have jealousy at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so, I've got this really weird, like, cocktail in my body of turned onness and jealousy. Mm-hmm. But because this has happened to me so many times, because I've had this, like, cocktail of hormones in my body so many times at this point, I've actually started associating one with the other. Mm. So it's like, if I start feeling jealous, I'll also start getting a little bit aroused. Yeah, it's weird. So it's like, I'll actually find myself kind of excited by hearing him. Like the jealousy is actually kind of sexy now. Like that is, it's almost like kinky, right?
You're almost like putting yourself into a cuckold. Like you're exactly. almost like being trained to like cuckolding in
exactly
a way.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's like, again, like, it's not like it's against my will, it's kind of awesome. Like, that's, I'm actually really enjoying that this is happening to me because I'm like, oh my god, I'm totally turned on that you're fucking this other girl. Oh my god, we can do this so many more times now. Like, this is gonna be great. We have a bright future.
That is
together.
An amazing upside to jealousy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. Humans are fascinating.
Yeah.
If you don't know what a cuckold is, it's if you want to see your partner sleep with someone else, but often it's a guy wanting to see his female partner sleep with another guy that's more well hung than him. But hey, Google it. Good times.
Yeah.
Hey, Google it. Sex nerd Sandra. Hey, Google it.
I'm sure, like, I'm sure episode like 225 is going to be on cuckolding. You know, yeah. Like it's. Just, it's
I gonna thought you were going to say Googling.
It's just going to be you being like, seriously, guys, Google exists. Just, why am I even here?
The CEO of Google's here, and we're like, wait, what can you Google? You can Google that too. Oh my God.
We don't have a whole lot more time, but I just wanted to check in on just some like the fun technique stuff in terms of threesomes. Positions, like fun ways to position your bodies. Because I remember our.
There's only one.
The Eiffel Tower, that's
the Eiffel
it.
Tower. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. But do you have any faves or any tips around that?
Well, Reed recently came up with something that we've done twice now. I'm sure you weren't the first person to invent it, but
he's looking at her really confused
because Reed and I are fluid bonded, which for those of you who don't know means we have unprotected sex, which is great because
much as possible.
It's true. But he invented this thing where, I'm lying on top of you, and so our genitals are like essentially lined up, and we can have a third person.
Yeah,
like,
Allie's on her back, lying on. I'm on my back. Allie lies down on her back on top of me, so my cock is between her legs and hopefully with an erection, although not necessarily always with an erection, especially now that I'm older. But we'll have our friend go ahead and
perform oral sex on both of us at the same time. Which is really fun because it's like
one gigantic. Yeah.
I mean, they can just they can
the
do
motions
whatever.
That Sandra is making right now are very funny. It's like she's just licking a wall, like a huge wall with her hands on it.
Yeah.
You just lost a game of wall ball. I can't believe the punishment.
I'm just trying to imagine how I would even go about having two sets of genitals in front of me and oral sexing them both at the same time. I mean, lots of hands are happening, you know, but...
That's where the play can really come in, right? It's like you can have one person service two people, you can have two people service one person, you can have one person just be a bolster for sexy that's happening on top of you. Mm-hmm. What else do you like to do, honey?
When I'm having threesomes with people who have never had a lot of threesomes, I'll often... If it's okay, and this is where I like to negotiate, because I'm just kind of talking about this on the fly, because I'm curious about what they're into, and I'm kind of listening to their answers, trying to figure out like, ooh, that sounds good, like that sounds like a win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. The idea of having somebody hold the other person while you do stuff to their partner or to that person in the middle, that's a great way to get people into it who are still shy. Like they get to be connected. Right. It's like you sit behind so-and-so and so-and-so is going to lean back. You nibble on their ears and their neck while I go down on them. And so the person who's more skittish gets to kind of be connected and in it and gets to watch it all with not having a lot of commitment or activity until they're ready.
Right, because there is that fear that some people have that, oh, if we have a threesome, I might get left out. And there's that fear of sort of abandonment within the act. And so just knowing you can always cuddle up and nibble a little.
Like another thing I like to do is like when I'm fucking somebody and there's – especially with their partner because it's just fun this way. But what I'll do is I'll take the person who's left out and I'll be like, you get behind me, grab my hips, and I'm just a huge dildo for you. And you fuck them with me. And then some people will be like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, this is cool.
And and kissing, right? That's the thing. So for the third person who gets left out, generally speaking, there's often like a mouth available or a body part where you can nibble on and whatnot. And like that's a nice low impact thing to do as well. You can make out with your partner while they're receiving something else. Or you can nibble on the new person. And as a lot of times for couples, when they're playing with a new person, it can be really fun for them. If everybody's, sexualities line up with this, but the unicorn, the new person can be the one that's receiving, and then the couple can do things together to that person.
Did you say the unicorn?
Well, the unicorn is parlance for a bisexual woman.
Oh.
Right. So, obviously doesn't have
unicorn.
To be a woman, but the lucky third who's the new person in the couple, like they can do things to that person, which can kind of fulfill the novelty aspect for both of the parts of the couple, and people can kind of choose into what makes them feel comfortable with that. And then, you know, the couple can make eye contact more and then kind of like use each other's bodies to do something to the third person. And that can make a lot of people feel safer because it is really kind of it's a coupled experience of sharing with a new person.
Yeah, because and for those of you who are listening who really want to be the third person, if you're entering somebody's bed, you know, that's a couple. I mean, not that you have to make it all serious and heavy, but like that's a big deal, especially if it's their first time ever inviting somebody into their bed. Like you're entering their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and my tip across the board for everybody is when in doubt, if things feel weird, shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Like call a timeout and have a check-in. Because if you can't reestablish the threesome after the check-in, it wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
You will the crash and burn will create more emotional wreckage than just put the plane down right there.
Sure.
And then what happens is, you know, and I've had this happen to me where I've called the timeout and been like, you know, maybe this isn't the right night. Like, let's all go out for coffee or something like that, mm-hmm. you know? And then I'm the one that gets invited back later when they've had more conversation and figured out things, because I was the person that was really polite and sweet. And then often on that second try, that's when they get it right. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just kind of a geek like that. Like, I get to be like, oh, how cool, you guys got to open up your relationship a little bit and explore something. Whether they want to have threesomes ever again, mm-hmm. that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then for some couples and people, just being able to share with your partner the things that turn you on doesn't mean you have to go fulfill them. But then you guys can be fucking and talking about inviting sex nerd Sandra into your bed and how hot that would be to have her sit on your face, honey, and I'm just going to fuck you right now. You know.
Hey, Katie. What's up?
but the idea of sometimes you don't even have to fulfill on these things. It's just that you can share them.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I think the most thing when I start freaking out about whatever it is, whether it's a date or like an awkward sexual experience that I really want to have, the more I can tell myself, seriously, Sandra, be cool, because you should just be happy if nothing happens and you just walk away. Like, just like, to have that okay, that like no pressure, like just have fun. Mm-hmm. And if nothing happens, it's totally fine. The more you can just let yourself be cool, the cooler stuff happens.
Be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool, man.
Hey, kids, be cool. Three ways.
Sex and Sandra. Be cool. Google stuff.
I feel really good about this. Dave, do you feel like you could like go out and have a threesome now?
No. But I feel one step closer, yes.
Well, I have an idea.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, no big deal.
Although this is actually a great podcast for people to be sharing with their friends if they think that they want to have a threesome. Like,
that's a good initiating thing. Like, yeah. Be like, hey, I heard this thing. Check it out. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. You should listen to this. Check this out.
Right.
Just send a link and then just lift your hands.
What do you think? No, but be like, what do you think about that? Like, and that's the thing is, like, when you just send somebody an unexplained, and it's just kind of that can be kind of creepy.
I was good seeing you the other day. Check this out.
You know. I think you might see some of yourself in this.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And an idea. But anyway, this is just a finish up, because I realized in terms of the number of people, I have heard that odd numbers tend to be a little bit more successful than even numbers. Have you noticed that in terms of groups of people?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I like the number 5 a lot. Obviously there's a certain amount, Reed's got theories, but generally speaking, if you got 4 can be difficult, especially if you're newbies, because there tends to be the coupling off thing. Mm-hmm. When there's an odd number, it can lend itself to the anxiety of the odd person out, mm-hmm. but that usually does keep things kind of together in mm-hmm. a group scenario. So instead of just everybody pairing off, like mm-hmm. it was like a swingers party or something, just everybody's mm-hmm. paired off and that's it. Mm-hmm. It's actually like 3 people, 5 people, 7 people can create
prime
these
numbers.
Prime.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. 11.
Well, yeah, because 9.
Well,
no.
9 could work.
23.
Yeah.
41, 47, I got a lot of them. 53, 59.
But yeah.
Go, math, go.
Only have sex in perfect numbers. So 28 is a good one, where all the the visibles add up to itself. Anyway.
Okay. Wow, that was awesome. I'm
totally into math nerd stuff. Can we start a math podcast, Sandra?
What's the algorithm for a three-way?
I only have sex in imaginary numbers, so it's the square root of negative one.
I want to show me your pie.
Oh, my.
Wow. Well,
did you have a little button about your numbers? Because you have a lot of numbers.
Well, I just think up until like about a year ago, I hated foursomes because they just bugged me. I was like, oh, my God, the math is all wrong. But then I had two really awesome foursomes, and I had to reconsider my opinion. But, yeah, I would say threesomes, fivesomes are my favorites. Sixsomes and sixsomes seem to be okay. Mm-hmm. But I would say it wouldn't surprise me if people who've had some experiences, you know, are emailing you saying, yeah, like odd numbers seem to work better.
Yeah.
I just think there's more dynamism, like that dynamic. Well, I can't pronounce it all. I must be drunk.
It's like that extra electron.
That's what confuses Dynetics.
No.
Oh, jeez.
It's like that atom.
Bring L. Ron Hubbard into this.
Electron. They're trying to find other. It's very chemical, you know? If it's a really stable molecule of like pairs, and then you just. And
I mean, who wants
like
to fuck plutonium? I want helium.
Who does want to? Bet you at least one person wants to fuck plutonium.
Somebody out there.
Anyway.
They just haven't been able to say it yet.
Allison,
this is what you're doing.
Where can people find you again? Say it one more time.
Taleswiththepack.com or lesbianwerewolves.com. Yeah, a little bit more memorable.
Check out her book for sure. Read.
Readaboutsex.com with R-E-I-D.
Awesome. Dave.
DaveToTheRoss.com or Twitter.com/DaveToTheRoss. Tons of other places.
I mean, you do have a monthly storytelling show. And then we have a monthly live show at Nerdmelt people can come to.
Yeah, all sorts of shows. And you can also come to my stand-up show downtown on Tuesdays. It's called Holy Fuck.
And you can pay me to coach you and stuff. And that's always nice to have conversations with you.
And you can email Sandra and make fun of her tastes in literature.
You can do that too. But
I wouldn't make fun. It's not make funnable. It's just that he's kind of a dick.
Right.
I mean...
But Ender's Game, I like the book.
It's a great book. And Orson Card. Kind of a dick. I mean, I know.
No, he's somebody I wouldn't invite into a three-way.
No, he wouldn't say yes.
What science fiction writer would you...
L. Ron Hubbard, for sure. For sure.
He levitates.
Yeah.
Writer? Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, anything else you want to promote or whatnot?
I think I would want to
promote Asimov's kind of a... He was.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah.
I would tell people, like, go to my website, go to readaboutsex.com, sign up for the newsletter.
Great newsletter.
And, or go like my Facebook page, which is, I think it's Read About Sex FB, Facebook, in case you didn't get that. And like it, because those
are the FBs for Facebook.
Because I try to post all my events on Facebook, and so you'll get notices if it's in your neck of the woods.
Right, and you travel all around.
I travel a lot, yeah.
Someday, Dave, you and I are going to go on a tour.
Yeah.
And do the show, because people are starting to ask for this. But I don't know where you are. Like, you need to let me know where, like, groups of people are in the world. Now, I'm talking to the microphone.
Oh, okay, I thought you were talking to me. I'm right here. Let's tour. Let's go on a tour now.
Like, do what, we go to Cleveland, or do we go to New York City? I don't know. To Seattle? You guys are everywhere.
I'm sure. I mean, even if the tour was just, like, Seattle, Chicago, and New York, and then, you know, like, Mobile, Alabama,
whatever. We could do a whole stand-up sex ed show. It'd be like This American Life, but with, you know, sex.
But with sex, yeah. This American sex.
This American sex.
You guys could do a little thing and then have
Ira Glass
some
is totally going to sue your ass.
Yeah. I don't know. This American Sex Life would be kind of...
This American Sex Life. Cool. Whoa. That resonates with me.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much, sex nerds. Please tune in again. Tell your friends. Let me know if you have a threesome.
What is your sexual superpower? Mine, I'm like Aquaman. I can go like, and then all the lesbians come and they get me out of tough jams. Like the butches like kick the door down, then the femmes come in and like show their boobs, and then everyone stops, and then
really how you want to end this show, honey? You've been doing such a good job.
I'm like a Green Lantern. I have to be wearing a very specific ring to get an erection.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm like, awesome. That was a high five you heard.
No, I demand you to be on my show again. Like, it's very important. There are so many topics we could touch on. you.
Yeah, totally. What's up, bro? Yeah. High five. Wow. Fuck women.
Whatever.
No, seriously, I'm very excited. Anyway, yes, have a good week. I'll talk to you next time. Bye, Team Fun.
Bye-bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.